Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of October, recording at 9:30 p.m. And yes, that's still British summertime. Now, another interesting day here, a varied day, a number of themes to pick up on. But first, just a quick comment on stock markets. They're basically quite steady in here. Not a bad day at all. What I would mention, though, is, of course, that valuations have been going up with this long, persistent rally, which has got a bit of self-feeding momentum behind it. We do have an increasing number of short-term overbought conditions. You can see that on the stochastics. You can also see it, more importantly, on the persistence of the actual moves that have taken place in here. And also, if you think, well, this is fun, this is great, and sure it is, but if you also add, well, is it a little bit too easy to make money in this environment? In other words, if you've got a portfolio of equities, as I hope that most of you do, then you will notice that gains have been pushing ahead rather sprightly. And some of the best performers have been previous laggards. For instance, Europe's been on a roll. And the SX5E, that's the Euro Stocks Index, I think it's the top 50 companies, or certainly a selection of cross-European interesting companies. That's up at its previous highs. It gets near a little over 3,000 on the index, and highs that we saw back in 2009, 10, 11, and 12, I believe, are now being tested, and there is a buildup of support underneath all this. So I would bet that we see that index move higher. Maybe it gets a little pullback because we do have a short-term overbought condition here right now. So maybe it gets a little pullback before that actually happens. But overall, this is still a bullish environment. Now, again, the fact that it is a little bit easier than we're normally accustomed to make money in this market does tell us that the risks are increasing. One of the toughest things to do in an environment like this is to, when you've been riding for a long time and you know that markets are becoming more overextended, and therefore risks have to be increasing, is to stay with it while it's still in form. And one of the things you can look at here, the unbroken progression of higher reaction lows that you see on many of the performing instruments, as long as they continue, let alone as long as they continue, then I would I would leave well enough alone. In other words, ride them. On the other hand, if we see big overextensions within uptrends relative to the moving averages, and if you see, for instance, if this rally just keeps on going, as sometimes happens in a maturing move, and gets really overextended on the upside, then I think you know that reaction will be to scale, and when it occurs, and you can protect positions either by following them up with reasonably tight trailing stop positions, if you wish to, and then some very long-term investors among you may just choose to ride the situation out on the basis that, okay, so we get another sharp correction. We've seen plenty of those over the last 4 years or more, and you can derive comfort from the fact that even though valuations are going up, that we have this incredibly powerful tailwind behind us. Now, in what may seem a little bit counterintuitive, this is an environment where the crowd actually likes news that It shows a slightly underperforming economic activity. For instance, the jobs creation figure that was announced here today set off a pretty good rally on Wall Street, over a 0.5% to the upside by the S&P, and about that slightly less for the Dow, and slightly less still for NASDAQ. But that big tailwind, get back to that point about what triggered this rally after a quiet start, was the jobs creation figure came in below below average expectations. So in other words, jobs creation was a little bit weaker. Now, in other environments, that could easily lead to a sell-off in other cycles, I should say, for stocks. But here, it's favorable because immediately what people started concluding on some of the financial talk shows was that, oh, well, that means that QE tapering is not going to occur in December of this year, and actually it's not going to occur before March 2014. Well, that remains to be seen, but you can see how the psychology and the self-defeating momentum work. People like news that is a little bit disappointing for the economy, so that keeps the stimulus going, and that's better for stock markets than anything else. Okay, what else is going on here in this interesting environment? We have had today a sharp decline in a number of long-dated government bond yields, particularly in the Western markets. Now, the U.S. 10-year yield has dipped down to 2.51, 2.51, I should say, percent. And that's a new reaction low after that 3% high. So, in other words, it's retracing a little bit more of that very strong, May to into August, September rally that we had seen. So that's a favorable environment here as well. And the Fed has been anxious to see that bond rates were not pushing higher, and that creates an additional headwind, as we saw earlier in the year, a few months ago with the property market in the United States. So that's one development that's taking place. I maintain, as I've said since the 3%, an obvious round number target resistance area, big overextended move, having run upwards quite powerfully, nearly doubled since May, and more than doubled from the low that we saw earlier in the year, that we were due for a medium-term reaction and consolidation. And I maintain that that's exactly what it is for yields, and that we will see them moving higher probably in the new year. A pause can, reaction and consolidation in this market can last for a good many months. And if that does so, that will be a favorable environment for equities. Equities continued. What you do know, and it doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate this, is that when QE tapering does start, or when people expect that it's about to start, we will see another corrective phase, and it may well be sharp, as the one was that started, I think, on the 22nd of May this year. Okay, so that's an interesting development. Now, also, the dollar, the U.S. dollar, which is historically a safe haven when people are nervous, well, with the stock market, and stock markets pretty well, most stock markets around the globe are stronger in here today, the dollar weakened again, and here are some powerful surprises. The euro against the U.S. dollar up to 1.3 3782. Only a few months ago, it was down at 120, as you may recall. And think what people were saying at the beginning of the year, last year, the year before, that the euro was going to completely break up or else go into an unrelenting overall decline. Well, thank Mario Draghi for the fact that confidence is improving in Europe overall. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but the region is outperforming in terms of its stock market activity. Overall. Now, sterling also a bit firmer in here, up to 162.35, but the euro has been the star performer. That Aussie's creeping up. The new government is nowhere near as keen on pushing the Aussie down, and the new government is also good for the stock market, as was not difficult to forecast following the election. But we've now got 0.97, a little above 0.97 Aussies to the U.S. dollar. And another interesting development in here today: precious metals. Okay, softer U.S. dollar. Interest rates aren't going to go up soon. So I wrote these up yesterday, and we've had a good follow through in here today. Gold up to 1340 and change. Silver up to 2271 and change. Now those two moves have broken the ranging medium-term downward trends that we'd been seeing. Remember, following that initial sharp rally, and I'm just going to put up a chart of gold because I haven't got total recall of those months, and I don't want to mislead you for sure. So just looking at that, remember we did at the end of, it was right at the end of June, and gold was down below 1200, actually got down to 1180, and everybody said it was going back below 1000. Oregon Goldman Sachs said that was actually going to happen, talking their short book. And we got a strong rally, which took it up. Let me see in here. I'd say that was about 1435. So 1180 up to 1435 in late August, and then it subsequently went through this sort of ranging decline, and it came back down more slowly than it had gone up, but it bottomed at about 1250, so comfortably still above that low that we'd seen back in June at 1180, and we had a big upward dynamic last week. Looks like I think that was Thursday, last Thursday, and we're getting a good rally, another good rally in here today. So this is conforming with that hypothesis that I was putting forward of seeing a higher reaction low. It's a consolidation, it's a right-hand extension. In other words, we had that V bottom low in gold and silver, and then pulled back in this ranging right-hand extension phase overall. So I'm more bullish than, I remain more bullish than bearish in terms of, I've been saying, I think, for several months now that we were much closer to an important low than a sustainable resistance level. But don't be surprised if it remains choppy, and indeed most of these markets are choppy in here right now. Now, I don't want to hold you too long, but I just want to look at the industrial metals, because they were all firmer in here today, and the sector is really performing quite well. That typically happens late in the cycle in the maturing cycle of bull markets. Well, that's late in the cycle, isn't it? But by the time everybody is saying, wow, look at the way these resources are doing, they've got to go up a good deal more than they have so far. but people are buying them because they're cheap, they haven't moved. Valuations are attractive because the valuations and the things that are performing best are, well, pricey in here right now. So we're seeing this basing support building activity that is actually continuing. Now, another interesting thing that happened here today, and this is the last point I'll bring up, is that the U.S. crude oil, that's the WTI, that's fallen almost another dollar and a half in here today. It's down to 98.22, 21 as I speak. It's still trading after hours. So it's following through on that break below the $100 level. But now I am convinced that that's to do with developments in the United States entirely, and an obvious one, which would be a factor is increased supply coming from the United States. I do not feel that this is an overall global slowdown for petroleum because the Brent is at one just above $110. That's actually up 39 cents in here as I speak. So an interesting and varied day overall, and on that note, all the very best to all of you.